and they lived happily ever after. That's the story we all want, isn't it? We want everything to work out, we want things to be better, and when things are bad, we want them to get good. But what happens when they don't? What happens when it just seems to keep going wrong? How do we cope with that? Let's talk about the lack of a happy ending right here on the Corner of Truth and Life. Hello, and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and we're talking about what happens when you don't get the happy ending. I remember, and I had a good childhood, so I'm not claiming otherwise. There are people who have far worse problems than I had growing up. But that being said, I had things about my childhood I really didn't like, and there were times when my parents didn't get along. They didn't fight terrible, but it was tense in our home, and I don't care. As a kid, you don't like that. You don't like it when there's tension. And my parents stayed together. They stayed in a loving relationship their whole lives. So I know there are kids that get abused. There are kids whose parents divorce and who go through much greater difficulties than I did. But I remember in those tense moments when my folks weren't getting along, when the tension was so thick you could cut it with a knife, I remember saying again and again, I wish it was tomorrow. I wish it was tomorrow. And part of the reason for that was because even when my parents were not doing well, it didn't tend to last. They'd get over it, and it'd be okay again. And so in those moments when it wasn't okay, I was just desperately wanting to get to the next day, get to the place where it'd be okay again. And for some of us, that's a thing that we still do with our lives. We still are hoping for that, let's get to the good part. Let's get through this and get to the good part. And we're longing and wondering, where is the good part? And can I get to it? And why aren't I there yet? And when we're facing rugged things and a rough time, and maybe whether it's an economic issue, a relation issue, a job thing, health, we hit these bad spots, and we're eager to get through them because, well, why wouldn't you be? My word, it would be stupid not to want to get past it. But what happens when you feel like you can't? And what happens when there isn't a light at the end of the tunnel? Then what do we do, and where's God? So a lot of times this is where we struggle spiritually if we have a concept of God, because we feel like if God is good and God has got power, which allegedly that's the case, well then obviously he should do good things, and if he doesn't, then he must be a bit of a sadist. Is he? I even heard on some show or whatever, they were talking about, you know, God was like a kid with a magnifying glass and he's burning my feelers off, because sometimes that can be the picture we get. In fact, the famous author C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, he was a Christian. He became a Christian after having been an atheist. And he wrote a book called The Problem of Pain, which was a kind of a theological guide to why bad things happen to good people and explaining why there's pain in the world. And it was a very, very good piece of work. It's a great, great work. However, later in his life, after having been a bachelor most of his life, he met an American woman and fell in love with her, and they got married. And he experienced a whole new life, and he was blown away. And her name was Joy, and his autobiography is Surprised by Joy, because he didn't understand how much this woman was going to bring into his life. And so it was a whole new awakening. And then she got sick, and she got cancer, and she died. And Lewis was, as any of us would be, very upset. And he felt like God had let him down. And he even goes as far as saying, you know, why is God so eager to be with you when things are good? And then when things are bad, you show up at heaven's door and you find the gate slammed in your face and the sound of bolting and double bolting. And he felt like God had let him down. And that's how we can feel. And there are people who totally abandon any kind of faith in God because of the bad things. And because of bad things they've either seen happen or they see in the world, or especially if it's the bad things that they have had to live through. I don't know how many young people I've talked to that when they express why they do not believe, and it starts with, if God loved me, he wouldn't have let, and then you fill in the bad thing. Anything from the death of a parent or grandparent to abuse, to all the different things that can happen. And when we're going through that, it gets really hard to see God, to sense God, or to believe in a good God. And it just seems so rough and so hard. And of course, that is normal. That's to be expected. But a lot of people say, well, that is proof that either there isn't a God, or if there is a God, he's nobody I want anything to do with. And boy, that is such an understandable sentiment, but it doesn't make it true. And we have to understand that there's more to it than that. It's such a simplistic thing. And I'm going to try to use a couple examples here today to help us see that really that's just not even a fair assessment on a human level. I am the director of a small Christian camp for teens down in Turner. And I have now been there. I've just wrapped up 31 years on staff. And the first 9 of those years, I was a counselor. And the first 6 of those 9 years, I was a counselor under the founder director, Mr. Glenn Chafee. And he was an older man. He was the director. He founded that camp and directed it for the first 35 years of the camp's existence. And by the time he was done, he was in his 70s. And I saw him as kind of I loved him. I loved him. He was like a grandpa to me. I absolutely loved him. But there were things about, I was a young guy in my very early 20s. He's an old guy in his early 70s, so he's 50 years older than me. And he's kind of, stick in the mud and is against some of the things that would make camp way more fun. And he just needs to get a life. And I love him, but he needs to let loose. I have now had his job for the last 22 years, and he has been gone with the Lord for a number of those years now. He's been gone a long time. And yet every year he's smarter. Because there were so many things that when he would say no, or when he would not let us do stuff, that I was like, man, he doesn't care. He doesn't understand. And yet as I've gotten older, what I've realized is, no, I was the one who didn't understand. I was too young and stupid. I didn't have the experience he had. I didn't have the sight that he had, because he'd sat there and he'd seen a lot more than I'd seen. I mean, yeah, I know 20 years is a lot of experience when the first 10 of them you were, the first 12 of them you weren't even through puberty yet. And the first 4 you have trouble remembering at all. But I thought at 20 that I had a pretty good grip on life, and at now at almost 50, I know that the grip I had on life at 20 was fairly fictitious. I didn't understand much. Far less than I thought I understood. And yet there were things that there was no way for him to explain them to me other than to say, well, you just don't understand. Which infuriated me, because of course I understand. I'm a college graduate or a college student and I know everything. And now it's fun. God has an amazing sense of humor, because now I am that director and I've got the white hair. And I got a bunch of 20-somethings who are all smarter than me and who can look at me and go, yeah, the old guy, he's lost his touch. Yeah, maybe he was good when he was younger, but he just doesn't understand. And I've been pretty much almost told that to my face by staff members at times. Yeah, you don't get it. And I just sit back and wait for them to hit the wall and implode and then go, yeah, see, I actually did. Not that I've become all-knowing, and not that I am infallible now, and Mr. Chafee wasn't infallible. But he wasn't as wrong as I thought he was, and I'm not as wrong as they think I am, because I just knew better. because I had more experience, because I had more life experience, because I'd seen more and learned more and done more. But there was no way to share the perspective that I could only get by having birthdays and by going through it. There was no way to share that experience with me, and there's no way now. I can try to explain it, but they don't even hear me when I try. Now, my children, when they were little, the gap was even greater. Now, we're still human beings and of the same DNA to a point, and yet when they were very small children, there were so many things that they weren't allowed to do that there was no way to explain to them why they couldn't. And sometimes life, it wasn't even fair, because daddy can, but you can't. And now sometimes the older sibling can, but the younger sibling can't, and it's not fair. And you try to explain why they can't, and they don't get it. They don't know. They will when they're a parent. But right now, there's not even a point of explaining it. Try explaining to a three-year-old certain things. They don't understand. They don't have the ability to comprehend. They're not stupid. They don't have enough yet. And God has said that His ways are greater than our ways, that His thoughts are greater than our thoughts, which if there's a God, and if He's the God like we even like to picture Him, and the God like the Bible says He is, well then, yeah, to say He's higher than us, and what does He say? He says, well, how high? As high as the heavens are above the earth, which, you know, we know scientifically the heavens are kind of infinite. He goes, that's how far apart your thoughts and my thoughts are. And that makes perfect sense, because I understand that on a human level, so then when you start getting into a deity, yeah, I get it. But just like me as a 20-something, or my children, or my staff now, I say, hey, listen, I get it. Hey, I'm smart enough, just explain it to me, because I know I've had this much life. But the Bible says our whole lives are but a breath. We're just here for a minute. And there's so much we don't understand. And there's so many things that we don't have the sight for. And yet we think we possess enough to understand even our own lives. And that's an arrogance that is usually invisible to us. I didn't, as a 20-something, I didn't think I was arrogant. I actually thought I was a pretty humble guy. And it wasn't until I was older and I look back now through the eyes of my director at the young person and go, wow, there's an arrogance there that you do not see. You do not know that you are being incredibly arrogant to think that you understand. And C.S. Lewis, as he worked through the pain of his wife's death, in the end of his book, A Grief Observed, which started out with him saying that God had slammed the door in his face, he says, no, I came to understand it. It wasn't a slammed door. It was a quiet look, not uncompassionate, that simply said, child, you don't understand. And that is tough for us because it violates our sense of pride to be told you don't understand. I mean, we just hate to be told that. My kids hate to be told that. But sometimes we don't. And God may look at us and He says, I am so sorry. It is rough. And the Bible says He sympathizes with us and He cares. And the day will come when the rough will end. But if you're in a position right now where it's not ending right now, where and you can't see the end, maybe it's going to go for a while. And you say, why? And even Jesus on the cross cried out, God, why? And He was God Himself. But in that moment, all seemed dark. We don't understand. There's an old hymn that says, we'll understand it better by and by. The day will come when we'll know. It's hard when you're going through rough times. Don't give up. It may be rough. We'll understand someday.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. for a service of music, celebration, and teaching. To listen to this show, other shows, messages, get announcements and updates, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or visit our Facebook page. Thank you for listening. We remind you to seek truth. This has been Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.